is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for a vacationing Albert Mohler, but his vacation is coming to an end. Dr. Mohler, if you're listening, enjoy the last day or two of vacation because very soon you'll be right back behind this microphone. But today, we're going to talk about Christian retailing, or what some people call Jesus junk. You know, I have to tell you, I collect bobbleheads. I've got an Edgar Allan Poe bobblehead. I have a Franklin Roosevelt bobblehead. I have a Jimmy Carter bobblehead. I have a Martin Luther bobblehead. I don't have a Jesus bobblehead. And I don't have a Moses bobblehead. But they sell them. You know, John the Baptist bobbleheads, which is kind of cruel if you think about it. But any kind of biblical character that you can imagine, you can get a bobblehead or a figurine. And that's not all. You can get any kind of merchandise that you can imagine. As a matter of fact, sitting around in the studio here with me today, I have every kind of merchandise that you can possibly imagine that the producers of the Albert Mohler Program just picked up today in a local Christian bookstore, like scripture cookies, which are fortune cookies, except they have Bible verses in them, a bumper sticker that says, Real Men Love Jesus. There's a little notebook that's kind of a hot pink Brady Bunch-looking thing that's God's Girl with 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4 on it, kind of a rip-off of the 7-Eleven logo that says 24/7, Jesus is with us always, a Red Cross-looking thing, a blood donor saved my life, and probably my favorite is this T-shirt up here that is designed to look like Abercrombie and Fitch, except it is a breadcrumb and fish, Jesus Christ miracle worker. And the reason I'm interested in talking about this today is because very recently the International Christian Retail Show was going on in Denver, Colorado, and there was an article about it in the Los Angeles Times that talks about the way that Christian retailing is being used for evangelism. And they particularly picked up on things like Christian perfume. Christian perfume. Have any of you ever worn Christian perfume or Christian cologne? It says that the designers of this product, which is Virtuous Woman Perfume, says it's a really, really new genre. We're the first. Now, Virtuous Woman Perfume comes packaged with a passage from Proverbs, but it is distinctly Christian, the article says, because it's supposed to be a tool for evangelism. And this is the quote. It should be enticing enough to provoke questions. What's that you're wearing? And then you take that opportunity to speak of your faith. They've opened the door, and now they're going to get it. End quote. Gives you that in to get share the gospel, to talk about what it means to follow Jesus. And speaking of following Jesus, they also debuted the Follow the Sun flip-flops. They're flip-flops that you can wear, and they have patterned soles that leave the message, follow Jesus in the sand. And not to be outdone, the gospel golf balls, which are, quote, a great golf ball with a greater purpose. And what you do with that, you have a little golf ball, and it's got John 3:16 on it. And so the marketer says, if you're playing great, good. But if you're spraying the ball, well, lose the golf ball, share the gospel. You can buy anything you want to with a Christian theme on it, with a Christian logo on it. What I want to ask today is, is this really effective evangelism? Why do we have so many consumer products that are designed and marketed especially for Christians with Christian logos? And what I want to ask you, does this kind of thing trivialize the gospel? Does a shirt that says, this blood's for you, trivialize something about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Does it show us that we're becoming a marketing niche? Or do you think that this really is an effective way to open the door and to start the conversation with an unbeliever through this kind of a product? I mean, are there any of you out there who came to know Jesus Christ by reading a bumper sticker? or by maybe finding that Christian golf ball? Is there anybody out there who you were just kind of wandering through a water hazard somewhere and you found that golf ball, John 3:16, and it's kind of an Augustine-like experience? You believe and you're now a Christian and you're following Christ? Maybe. I ran into not long ago a guy who is now a scholar. We actually hired him here at Southern Seminary as our new professor of theology and the arts, who was saved at a Stryper concert. You remember Stryper? They're the kind of the heavy metal group that's Christian. They dress in this kind of bee outfit, and they throw out Gideon Bibles from the stage. This guy was saved at that concert. Now, he's kind of moved on since then, but that's where he was converted. Maybe you say, this kind of thing is a good means to evangelize. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and help me understand why it is that we love to have all kinds of stuff with the logos of our faith. I think I've got some ideas as to why this is so popular, but I want to hear from you. 877-893-TALK, and we're going to talk about Christian retailing. But before we do, a few things in the news. New York Times has an article today that I found really interesting. Speaking of logos and speaking of marketing, the skull and bones, you know, used to be a symbol of danger, of fear. Not anymore. According to the New York Times, the skull image is now a contemporary youth fashion trend. And a music critic at the New Yorker says the skull is all-purpose. It refers to horror movies, to misfits, to the mall goth culture. If you're really at heart a goth, but you have friends who are into metal and punk, you can have these skulls and be in with all of these different groups. Another person commented on this and said, I really think it's because we've lost our connection with death. We've lost our fear of death. I don't really think we've lost our fear of death, but I think we've lost our hatred of death in American culture, and that's one of the reasons why a skull just doesn't bother us anymore the way that it used to. You might want to look at Dr. Moeller's website, www.albertmoeller.com, about America's gambling hypocrisy. He wrote on his blog section of the website, taking on Jacob Weisberg of Slate.com's article, essay about moral hypocrisy on the issue of gambling, and takes that up. I think that actually is a very important thing to think about, especially when you don't hear many Christians addressing the issue of gambling right now. Dr. Moeller does. Also, maybe the strangest bit of news that I've seen today, KFYE-FM in Fresno, California, has changed formats from Christian music and Christian talk to now porn radio. All sex, all the time. I don't know if they play Barry White, but it says that they play songs like Sexual Healing by Marvin Gaye, Nasty by Janet Jackson, and all kinds of songs that have to do with sex along with sex talk. And some people in Fresno are really upset about that, as you might imagine, saying, you know, if you put this on XM radio or on Sirius radio where people have to pay for it, that's one thing. But when you put it over the air where kids have access to it, that's something very different. Well, this is not porn radio. This is Christian talk radio, and we're wanting to look at the issues of the day from a Christian perspective. And what I especially want to talk to you about today is Christian junk. Christian consumer items. You know, we have entire conventions now devoted to selling Christian products like this that I'm looking at right in front of me, Scripture Mints or Testa Mints, reaching the world one piece of candy at a time with 12 refreshing mints with New Testament verses on them, including the fish symbol on the back that explains the gospel. Do you think these things really help us engage a lost world with the culture? Or do you think they tend to trivialize the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. In a few moments, we're going to have a man on, a scholar, Alan Wolfe at Boston College, who's an unbeliever. He's not a Christian, and he's been very critical of America's evangelical Christians in the past. And Professor Wolfe says, you know, you guys are kidding yourselves if you think that you're going to reach unbelievers with this kind of product. Is he right? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. You know, I think there really are two ways of looking at the whole Christian retailing issue. Some people hate Christian products really just because they're snobs. You know, it's very easy to make fun of Thomas Kincaid. It's very easy to make fun of some of our art that we have in the evangelical Christian world and some of our products because they're just not very tasteful. It's kind of the Fraser Crane approach. And then there are others who say, you know what, that's not what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in being snobbish about this. What I'm interested in is asking, why do people make these products? They make these products because we buy them, and apparently we buy them in large numbers. And my question is, why do we buy them? Do we buy them because they're actually effective in evangelizing? Do we buy them because we kind of see ourselves as a little Christian subculture and we need this stuff to remind us of who we are? Why do we want it? Why do we need it? Any of you ever been converted by reading a Bible verse on a breath mint? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. We have no albertmohler.com t-shirts to sell today, but we will be right back to talk about Christian retailing on the Albert Mohler program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. It is a material world, and I guess I'm a material boy. I guess we all are. We're buying and selling merchandise. Just think how much Kabbalah stuff Madonna could sell if she really set her mind to it. But Christians are selling and buying all kinds of products, from Christian t-shirts to Christian breath mints to Christian flip-flops to Christian golf balls. And what I want to know is why? Why are people selling this stuff and why are we buying this? Is it really effective as Christian witness? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But before we get to you, I would like to talk to Professor Alan Wolf, who is a professor of political science at Boston College. He is also a very prolific writer. He is one of the nation's most recognized public intellectuals. He has written One Nation After All. He has written The Transformation of American Religion. And he has written his latest book, Return to Greatness, How America Lost Its Sense of Purpose and What It Needs to Do to Recover It. I read almost everything that Alan Wolf writes because he is very perceptive in tracing trends in American society. Alan Wolf, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, thanks for that generous introduction.
It's very good to talk to you. I was interested to see in this article in the Los Angeles Times about the Christian Retailing Convention that the reporter turned to you and asked you, is this very effective in winning unbelievers to evangelical Christianity? And what's your assessment of that?
Well, I'm not a Christian.
Sure.
I don't like it when people witness to me. So if what I think is really going on here is a bunch of people, all like-minded, witnessing to each other. I like that because that means nobody's coming up to me. But, you know, if you're a really serious Christian, it seems to me you'd be trying to reach people outside your little charm circle. And I think a lot of these Christian business ventures are just people who are very much like each other, just talking to other people who are very much like each other.
So when you see these Christian products, you don't get the impression that they're trying to talk to you to convert you to Christianity?
Not at all. I think it represents what I call, in my book, The Transformation of American Religion, what I call lifestyle evangelism. It's like, I really don't want to go out and meet strangers. I don't want to go out and have unpleasant encounters. So I'll just lead a good lifestyle,
uh-huh,
a good Christian lifestyle, and then other people will see me and they'll notice and they'll ask me about it, and then I can talk to them about Jesus. I think in many ways, if you're a serious evangelical, that's a cop-out. I mean, it reminds, I hope you don't mind the comparison, but it reminds me of 1960s dropouts who said, let's create our own little communes, you know,
wow,
just with people like us.
You know, that is really a perceptive remark from somebody who's not a Christian. Professor Wolf, and I know you say you don't like people to witness to you, you don't want that happening, but what do you suspect would be a more effective way of a Christian gaining a conversation with a non-Christian like you about their faith?
Well, you know, I'm probably not the best person to ask that. you know, and I can't really advise Christians about their tactics.
Sure.
For witnessing. What I see, you know, when the Los Angeles Times reporter asked me about this, she said, you know, we have Christian real estate dealers and Christian dentists and so on, and what did I think about it? I said that in many ways it reminded me of debates about, you know, whether African Americans should have their own dormitories or women should have their own courses at college that men can't take. It's the same kind of thing, it seems to me, like you want to kind of, you're really afraid of the world around you, so you want to retreat into your own world. I can understand why people want to do that, but I do think it's a retreat.
You know, Professor Wolf, I caused quite a controversy here on this radio program when I took up the issue of Christian romance novels. And I've been getting letters from Christian romance novelists ever since who say, you know, a Christian romance novel is really something that we need because it takes the sexuality and the pornography out of this genre and makes it something that can actually appeal to Christians. Do you see some of that going on with this Christian retailing?
Yeah, I do. I think evangelicals are in a real dilemma here. I mean, on the one hand, you have to meet the culture. If you just withdraw from the culture, you're leaving the culture in the hands of forces that, if you're an evangelical, you consider wrong or sinful. So you've got to engage the culture. But the culture shapes you just as much, if not more, than you shape the culture. And so the danger is always, you know, that you'll mimic some of the very things that you're against. I think that's happened with Christian rock music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not, as I said, I'm not a Christian, but my tastes in religious music go to the old-fashioned kind, Johann Sebastian Bach and so on. Mm-hmm. And when I see all this Christian rock music in churches, I say, well, you know, they want to reach people where they are, but my God, is that really what they're, is that the best you can offer? There's nothing inspiring in that. And I don't read Christian romances, but my guess is the same thing is true there.
All right. Well, thank you, Professor Alan Wolf, very much for being on the Albert Mohler program today. And Alan Wolf, I just thank you for your keen insight and your mind. And I hate that you don't like people to witness to you,
well,
but I really hope that one day you will become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, give my best to Albert Mohler.
All right. Thanks, Professor Wolf, very much for being on the Albert Mohler program. I'd like to ask you, Professor Wolf says that really what's happening with this Christian consumer stuff is that we're afraid of the culture and we want to create a kind of a commune. He even compares us to 1960s dropout culture. Do you think he's right? Do you think that's what's happening here? He also says, you know what, if you want to reach me with the gospel, this is not the way to do it. I'm not going to be convinced by a bumper sticker or by a Christian trading card, but I might listen to somebody who's coming up and talking to me. Do you think that this stuff is really kind of a cop-out for people who are afraid to verbally confront their friends and neighbors with the gospel? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. 877-893-TALK. Let me know what you think about Christian, well, stuff. We have Faith on the line who is listening in Tampa, Florida on WTBN. Faith, welcome to the Albert Mohler program.
Thank you for having me on.
Glad to.
I just wanted to say that I think that some of the Christian advertising is appropriate. I'm on a college campus. I'm working on my master's. So, like the shirt, some of the shirts are appropriate, but I was in Vegas recently and there was a poker chip for sale in a convenience store that had John 3:16
okay.
on it. And I think that the majority of the Christian advertising really does cheapen the gospel, and it doesn't get the message across. And I do have to agree with the previous guest that I think it's a cop-out for some evangelicals who are not comfortable enough with their faith to actually engage non-believers in conversations about Christ and the gospel.
Now, Faith, I'm glad you said that you found that at a convenience store, because I was about to ask you what you were doing at a poker table in Vegas. But I'm glad to know you found it at a convenience store. And I also want to tell you that I have holding in my hand right now a poker chip that was given to me by our producer, Mike Pullman. How he got it, I don't know, but it says, don't gamble with eternity, Mark 8:36, and you turn it around, and it says, accept Jesus before you cash in your chips. Now, what I want to know, is that kind of stuff really effective in reaching an unbeliever? Do you really think, yeah, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? Maybe, maybe not. Do you think this kind of stuff really reaches your friends and coworkers and neighbors with the gospel? Or do you agree with Faith that a lot of this stuff kind of cheapens and trivializes the gospel? If we're going to reach somebody like an Alan Wolf, you know, he's an unbeliever, he thinks Christianity is silly, but he's sure not going to listen to this kind of stuff. How do we reach him with the gospel without really showing ourselves to be trivial? Being our own little subculture. He says we're afraid of the culture, and that's why we create our own. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Have we as Christians just turned ourselves into material girls and material boys instead of carrying out the Great Commission. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Tom T. Hall has got the essence of American evangelicalism down. Me and Jesus, we don't need anybody to tell us what it's all about. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. And we're talking today about Christian stuff, Christian retailing, Christian T-shirts and Christian bumper stickers and Christian golf balls and Christian poker chips and Christian breath mints and Christian, not romance novels. We're not talking about romance novels today, but Christian stuff. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and help me understand why it is that we need this stuff. Why do we want this stuff, and why do people sell us this stuff? You know, you go into a Christian bookstore, first of all, it's going to be very difficult for you to find a Christian bookstore, because you go into a Christian store and what you find is potpourri. And what you find are little framed rabbits and little framed lambs. What you don't find are books or Bibles. And even if you find a Bible, you know, you can get a Bible that is in the color of your favorite college sports team. You can get University of Tennessee colored Bible. I mean, you can get whatever you want in a Bible. Why do we need this kind of stuff this way? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Is it an effective means of evangelism? Is the Christian perfume that the Los Angeles Times is talking about that was debuted at the Christian retail convention. Is this really something that's effective? I mean, the idea that somebody's going to walk up and say, that scent that you're wearing is very intriguing. What is it? Well, it's Virtuous Woman perfume. And while we're at it, let me talk to you about Proverbs, about the Proverbs 31 woman, and relate that to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe there's somebody out there who's convinced of the gospel through that. I'm just having a little trouble seeing that, but I need you to help me. Give me a call at 877-893-8773-TALK. And we have Mike, who is calling from Los Angeles, California, listening on XM Radio. Mike, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Dr. Mohler, I'd take a T-shirt that belonged to you. No, I believe we, at a flea market, it'd be a good place to get out. I've seen footprints and stuff like that people look at. Some take home. Some don't even believe.
Uh-huh.
And it might be one Bible verse on there that they could use.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Okay, so Mike thinks that maybe the stuff that we sell with Bible verses on it, an unbeliever might pick that up and say, you know what, I'm reading this Bible verse and I'm convicted of sin and I believe the gospel. I don't think I've ever met anyone like that. I just don't think I've ever met anyone who says, you know, I once was lost, but now I'm found because, you know what, thank goodness for that Christian cologne. I just haven't met anybody like that. Maybe there's somebody like that out there. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Most of the people that I know who say, I came to faith in Jesus, came to faith in Jesus really the old-fashioned way. They knew people who were Christians, who shared verbally the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, loved them, persisted in this, and they came to believe. It seems to me that's the way the Holy Spirit works. I just don't know that we need all of the stuff that we have, but my hunch is the reason that we want it is because we feel beleaguered, we feel like we're under siege, and we want to identify with Christ, and this is the only way that contemporary, consumeristic, individualistic American Christians know how to do that. Not through baptism, not through identifying yourself with a local church, not through being a countercultural community, but by being the right kind of consumer. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. We have Kimberly on the line. Kimberly, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Glad to.
I just wanted to say to you, I'm locally here in Louisville.
Uh-huh.
And when I was a child, I did believe there was a God, but I really didn't know anybody who had, like, a real relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And if it had not been for WJIE, I found that station quite by accident. I was bored with what I was listening to,
okay.
So I flipped around.
Sure.
And I have to take exception with Christian rock and roll, like Dr. Wolf had said, because it really is effective.
Uh-huh.
It was effective for me because, I people say all the time when children commit suicide and, oh, they were listening to Ozzy Osbourne.
Sure.
I don't know that that's necessarily the cause.
Uh-huh.
But lyrics do speak to your heart, and it is the word of Christ in all of these Christian songs.
So that's how you became a Christian, was listening to Christian rock?
Yes. Well, Third Day.
Okay.
A certain song that I had heard really touched me,
okay.
And it made me want to really start to know him. But, you know, God knows when a heart is ready.
Sure.
When that seed can be planted, and he's responsible for watering it. So I do believe that a lot of these hokey-looking or hokey-seeming type advertisements,
yeah.
You never know what's going to touch a person's heart. And someone
all
who's
right.
lost and don't...
What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. Christian Stuff. Does it reach people for Jesus? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. To the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. I don't know if Alan Jackson is a Christian or not, but I think he's on to something. Because, you know, there are all kinds of people. I'm just sitting here looking at the website of a Christian music artist who's kind of built his reputation off of attacking Christian T-shirts, singing songs about they'll know us by the T-shirts that we wear. And then you go to his website and you can buy a T-shirt of him and an 8x10 glossy of him. And a bumper sticker of him. There are a lot of people in American Christianity who don't believe in wealth and privilege, but who are making a killing off of selling us stuff. And what I want to know is, why do we buy it? Why do we want it? Why do we need it? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. And we're talking today about Christian retailing, and we have James on the line, listening on WHCB in Johnson City, Tennessee. James, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hello.
Hello. What's your thought today?
Well, I'm glad you just said that, because if they're taking the proceeds and fattening their pockets, that's a different story. That's wrong.
Sure.
But as far as using it for the church or congregation, whatever they need it for, that's okay. But what I was going to say is it's objects, and people are so different about what they like and what they don't like.
Uh-huh.
And if they find something that catches their eye and they look at it and read it, it's time for them to hear God's word, and that maybe he has delivered to them.
Okay.
But I don't think it's a bad idea as long as the money proceeds is not being used to...
James, is there anything in your mind that goes too far that kind of trivializes the gospel?
As far as...
As stuff.
Things put scriptures on?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that you shouldn't put them on.
Okay.
As far as, your alcohol stuff or gambling stuff. I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't think anybody's tried to do the scripture verse whiskey bottles yet. Maybe so. I don't know. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I'm interested to know if you agree with this unbeliever, Alan Wolf, who says, y'all have this stuff because you're afraid to talk to me. He says, you all have Christian T-shirts and Christian bumper stickers and Christian breath mints and Christian perfume because it helps you to think you're evangelistic without ever really talking to your neighbors about Christ. I wonder if he's right. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-TALK. And we have Joanne, who is listening in Jackson, New Jersey. Joanne, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Moore. You're doing a great job filling in for the host on vacation.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
My comment today is, it's really thought-provoking because I never really thought about it in those terms, is whether we need it or whether we don't need it. But my comment is that, you know, our kids are inundated with so much worldly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, whereas I don't believe it's necessary for evangelism, I think it's much more clearly we are supposed to open our mouth and tell the word about Christ. It certainly can start a conversation, but that's certainly not a primary means.
Sure.
But when children are involved and, you know, they want this and they want that, I would say that I would rather inundate them with a Bible that's their favorite color or, you know, things that are about Christ because they're so inundated all the time with worldly stuff.
Okay. So for you, it's different. It's different with children than it would be with just kind of having the stuff in order to get evangelism going.
Not at all. No. I mean, I mean, it's a great way to start a conversation. If it happens, it happens. If you want to, you know, I'm proud to be a Christian. I like to wear a T-shirt now and again. But, you know, that's not my primary motive for, you know, wearing it. It's primarily because I'm proud to be a Christian.
Sure.
And if it starts a conversation, great. But more like the kids. Like if they, you know, they have these little gadgets and trinkets and stuff, I'd rather see them buy that than, you know, something that's worldly.
Yeah. Well, I think Joanne makes a good point. I think there are a lot of people who buy this stuff for that very reason. They want to have an alternative for their kids. I guess what I'm worried about, and I'm very sensitive to this with my own children, because sometimes I think we can send them the wrong message about Jesus, even with the stuff that we buy. So that if you have an idea that Jesus is some type of a product, I think that can give a very different vision of the gospel than the one we find in the Bible. I'm not saying don't ever buy any of this stuff. I'm saying you ought to be very careful that you're not turning Jesus into a commercial icon. I mean, if your kids see Jesus the way they see the leprechaun on the cover of the Lucky Charm cereal box, then they're not really hearing the gospel. I think that's something we need to be very careful about. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and we have Robert on the line. Robert, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hey, thank you for taking my call today.
Glad to. What's your thought?
Well, I think that we need to be very careful as believers. After hearing your guest speak, he can obviously see that there are things, material things, that would make up what it is to be a believer. And what we need to do is centralize and think about. I'm reminded of 1 Peter 3:15. We need to always be ready and to give a defense for the hope that is in us.
Uh-huh.
It's not the stuff that saves us. It's Jesus and the truth that he proclaimed. I think people need to think about going back to the basics and thinking about what it is that makes a person a sincere believer.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of, we're bombarded as believers. We see these things. We wonder, are they sincere?
Mm-hmm.
Like Carrie Underwood's song, Jesus Take the Wheel.
Yeah.
I personally don't know her heart, but I hear the song and I wonder, does she really know what it means to be a believer, or is she fitting into what a producer suggested would albums.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and it's hard to see how the rest of the world hears this kind of thing. I heard a secular comedian on a talk show say that he had a relative who was suing Carrie Underwood because she said Jesus take the wheel and had a wreck. I mean, so he was having a good time with the lyrics of that song. I just wonder how much of it actually gets attention. Very quickly, we have Marilyn on the line. Marilyn, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. What's your thought?
I am coming from a perspective of being caught up in religious Christian marketing culture.
Okay.
When I was in high school, the What Would Jesus Do fad was really big.
Yes.
And I remember sitting in my homeroom class beside a guy who I knew was a big partier and came to class drunk. He had on a What Would Jesus Do bracelet, and so did I.
Yeah.
And I thought how that impacted my witness, and I also got really convicted about where my money was going.
Okay, all right. Marilyn says that WWJD bracelets didn't really help her to follow Christ. What about you? Why do we want this stuff? You may call 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We're talking about Christian retailing. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
My mind. I don't have to be me.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and I don't have to be me till Monday. I am out of here in a few minutes, and that's the end of my sitting in this summer. Next Monday, this coming Monday, Albert Mohler will be back behind the mic. I'm gathering the kiddos up. Today is what we call Moore Day, the four-year anniversary of their adoption into our family, and we're going to go have a great time tonight and tomorrow celebrating adoption and our adoption in Christ. Today we're talking about stuff, Christian stuff, T-shirts, breath mints, golf balls, and everything else. And very quickly, we have Brian on the line in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Brian, what's your thought today?
Well, you know, I think a lot of things that we do, because we're human and God's so great, we're never going to really be able to bring him the justice that he deserves, you know, no matter what we do.
Yeah.
But as to why we want the stuff,
yeah,
I think it's more a sense of community. I mean,
yeah,
not that we're advertising Christ to the world, but to fellow believers, and we, you know, find fellowship in that.
You know, I think you're right, Brian. I think that's exactly what's going on often. It's not so much that we think wearing the T-shirt is going to cause an unbeliever to fall down and say, Jesus is Lord, as much as it is that we think, you know, hey, you wear the T-shirt just like me. You've got the Lord's Gym T-shirt on. We're Christians together. You've got the little bracelet on that says WWJD or whatever it is right now. And we see that sense of community, and I guess that's what worries me about us, that we find our community in the way that we buy stuff. I think that's the way the world forms community. We have community because we buy our stuff at Abercrombie and Fitch. We have community because we buy our furnishings at the Pottery Barn. And it seems to me that the Bible has given us, Jesus has given us a way to find community. We identify ourselves together through baptism, through the Lord's Supper, through the identity of the church. And I guess that's what is so achingly empty in American Christianity right now, that you don't see as much of people saying, my culture is a citizenship, a commonwealth in heaven that is seen right now in this local church where I love these people and they love me and they know me and they hold me accountable. Instead, I've got Christian potpourri. I've got Christian breath mints. Oh, look at my sandal print. It leaves a follow Jesus remark. Got to be something better than that. I think there is. It's called the Church of Jesus Christ. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler. We'll be back Monday. I won't. Albert Mohler will on Monday to talk about the things that matter. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.